Let us pray. Open our hearts, O God, to receive your word. Take away anything which keeps us from hearing, anything within us that stops us from listening to your word that you speak. Open our minds and our hearts through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me invite you now to hear these words from the book of Ecclesiastes. And as we listen today, let's listen together for the word of God. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what has been planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. God has made everything suitable for its time. And moreover, God has put a sense of past and future into their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in their toil. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, in just a few short hours, the page will turn in the world from 2017 to 2018. We'll wake up in a new world. This is the moment that many people have been looking forward to because it's been the worst year that they've ever had, and they think the new year is going to be better. And then there are those who had the best year ever, and so they're kind of nervous about what may happen in 2018. It's always a time of reflection as a new year begins, as an old one ends. For many, this is a time to make resolutions. I don't know if you're into resolutions or not. I have resolved not to take the waste of time to write mine down on paper. I just make mental resolutions now because I know I'm not going to keep most of them. But I'm always reminded when I think about resolutions of that old comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes. And one of my favorites had to do with New Year's resolutions. Calvin is writing a long list of resolutions to which his tiger come to life, Hobbes, says, you know, that's a great thing to do. It's always good to consider what you need to improve about yourself, to resolve to be better. And Calvin said, well, these resolutions are not for me. These are for others that I am making, you know. And maybe you have a long list like that as well. Well, resolutions aren't really as helpful maybe as we'd like them to be. And so I like to think at this turn of the year about time and about not only, as Pastor Ann said, the gift that time is, but also how do we make the most of it in the sense of our life? How do we reflect on the time we've spent as we prepare for the time to come? And you may have noticed, if you've been keeping up with things this week, that for the first time ever, Harrisonburg is going to do a ball drop down in the downtown area. Did you see that? First time ever. But because of the temperature, we're moving it from midnight to 11 o'clock. Now, I don't know how much warmer it's going to be at 11. I will probably still be in my wedding mode at that time, since I have a wedding later today. But I would love to go down there to see all the people who show up for the midnight dropping of the ball and realize they were an hour late, even though they were on time. It makes you wonder sometimes how maybe you're like me. Maybe sometimes you feel out of step, as if you've missed something. People order time in different ways and seem to make life work in different ways, like I was missing something. Well, a few months ago, I discovered a poem that made sense to me. It's called "What You Missed That Day You Were Absent from the Fourth Grade." It was written by a poet by the name of Brad Modlin. So here's what he writes. Maybe you missed this day too. What you missed that day you were absent from fourth grade. Mrs. Nelson explained how to stand still and listen to the wind, how to find meaning in pumping gas, how peeling potatoes can be a form of prayer. She took questions on how not to feel lost in the dark. After lunch, she distributed worksheets that covered ways to remember your grandfather's voice. Then the class discussed falling asleep without feeling that you had forgotten to do something else, something important, and how to believe that the house you wake up in is your home. This prompted Mrs. Nelson to draw a chalkboard diagram detailing how to chant the Psalms during breaks at work and how not to squirm for sound when your own thoughts are all you hear. Also, that you have enough. The English lesson was that "I am" is a complete sentence. And just before the afternoon bell, she made the math equation look easy, the one that proves that hundreds of questions and feeling cold and all those nights spent looking for whatever it was you lost and one person add up to something. You ever feel as if that's the day you missed? Trying to make sense of time and life in a way that gives order and meaning and purpose and hope, not only to you, but to those around you. In her marvelous book called Receiving the Day, Dorothy Bass announces that the time has come to turn our minds and our hearts to the problem of time in our lives. I suspect you might understand why she would say that. We are cramming more and more activity into our days. Our stores are open round the clock. Our restaurants stay open late, especially the drive-through lane. Gone are the days when the TV day would end and they would play the Star Spangled Banner at the end of the night. You remember that? No, we are living now when there is no distinction between night and day, when there is just an unending sweep blur of digital time that ticks by second with no distinction. The natural rhythms of time are easily lost on us because we cram more things into a day in this culture than in any other age. And Bass was right. The hour has come to turn our hearts and our minds to the problem of time in our lives. Some of you may remember a song written years ago by a Nashville songwriter named Beth Nielsen Chapman. It's a song about time. She sings, "All the time in the world climbs the walls, swells the doors, it goes flying out the window, all the time in the world these precious days we live through thrown away like tissue. I wish that I could give you all the time in the world. But we can't give anyone any more time. And what we do with the time we have says a lot about us. Edward T. Hall once offered an observation that said this: time talks. It speaks more plainly than words. The message time conveys comes through loud and clear because it's less manipulated. It is subject to less distortion than anything we say or do. It can shout the truth where words lie. Time can shout the truth where words lie. Has that truth ever caught you, ever smacked you in the face? Maybe you've proclaimed the truth that your family is more important than your work, only to discover that you spend a whole lot more time with folks at work than you do with your children. Or maybe you've said that you're going to set aside time for yourself, and then you never find a way to say no to someone asking for more of your time. Or perhaps you've said that something, this thing is so radically important, but yet you never find the time to do this thing that you think about all the time. And who among us hasn't ever said in our lives, I would love to spend more time in prayer, or reading the Bible, or working in the community, if only I had more time. All the time in the world, these precious days we live through, thrown away like tissue, I wish that I could give you all the time in the world. Time can shout the truth where words lie. So what does our use of time say about us, about our commitments and our values, about the ones we love and the ones we care for, about what truly matters in our lives? I suspect we don't want to stand in the face of that question too long because many of us, perhaps most of us, our lives betray our commitments. But on this day, as the old year ends and a new one prepares to dawn, this is a time to consider not only the time we've been given, but the faithfulness of our God, the God who holds all time in His hands, the God who gives us the breath of life, the God to whom we belong. And in the words of the greeting that we shared earlier, to consider in light of all that God has done, how we might give ourselves anew to God. Well, I suspect the answer will be different for each one of us. But later, as we enter a time of renewing our commitment to God, let me invite you to consider well the gift of your life, the time that is yours to use. For as long as you have breath, use it to love and serve the Lord. Amen.